Ace Podcast.
Weird.
Hey, Aaron.
Hey,
Aaron.
Hey, Oscar.
It's me, Craig.
Yeah, we're at the alternate studio tonight.
Craig's been sick,
and we had Leeberry reserved last night.
We did, but can you tell by my voice that I'm sick?
Yes.
I'm actually kind of overplaying it a little bit.
You are, because you sounded fine like 10 minutes ago.
No, actually, this is how it sounds right now, but it is kind of great. I'm going to be clearing my throat a lot.
Well, I'm happy that you're feeling better.
Oh, man. I was down for like 4 or 5 days.
I know. I haven't seen you in like a week.
I didn't leave the house for 3 days.
Oh, that's kind of weird. Did you get cabin fever?
I got some.
Did you get...
No, I had already had a fever.
Did you get swine fever?
No, but I got mixed up on my days. I couldn't remember what day was what.
Yesterday was a studio day.
Yeah.
And we didn't make it.
We had to cancel because I was sick on the couch.
And all that.
I was watching movies, Netflix, and whatnot.
And we still got a new review.
How's that? You know, I can sit back and be sick and still get reviews.
This is from the Norway version of iTunes.
Sure, sure.
And it's super funny, 5 stars from... Henning 00007.
Yes, 00007.
Yeah. And it says, thanks for sharing this funny podcast, guys. Laughed a lot.
Thanks for sharing the funny podcast, guys. I really don't know how they talk. I hope I didn't offend him.
I don't think you did.
Oh.
If so, I apologize.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, Norway.
Just in case.
Sorry, Norway.
And we got a new feature. A new feature this week.
I don't know. It tells me anything. What have I been sick for?
I told you twice.
Days?
You just obviously didn't pre-read the stories. We're going to do a What to Expect segment.
Really?
We're going to tell everybody what's coming up on this episode. So everything won't be a complete shock to them.
It's shock to me.
Give them a little something to look forward
to. It's kind of a shock to me we even get to do this.
So this is episode 117.
Yeah, it is.
And what you can expect on this episode, give us first one there.
Chocolate quesadillas.
Oh, are you serious? You're going to give me some chocolate quesadillas?
I didn't buy any stuff to make them.
We got a story about a guy who put a protective spell on himself that didn't quite work out very well. A spell.
We got aliens that are bothering ranch owners.
Yes, we do. And one of my favorites, we got some snake stories.
Yeah.
At least one.
Yep. Fans. Oh, that's a sports thing. You should talk about this one.
Okay, we got a group of fans that are angry at their team because the team is improving.
Oh, we got a spam heist.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we got creepy clowns.
Yeah. And, oh, man, I just get to say and more.
That's the big one, though.
And more.
Because that encompasses lots. I mean, that includes the top 10.
It could be one thing.
Yeah.
It could be 15 things.
It could be whatever.
Yeah.
Hey, you like candy?
I love candy.
Man, I have liked candy for as long as I can remember.
I can tell.
And you know.
No, I mean, because you're very excited about it when you talk about it.
A few months ago, I signed up for this candy club.
Candy club.
And it came
to
the house.
It's a club that involves candy.
It's the gift that keeps on giving. All year long.
Like all year long.
That it is, Eddie.
That's right, Clark.
Anyway.
Save the neck for me.
Candy what? Club.
Huh?
Candy Club, it's the plan I'm on is $30 a month.
Yeah. But you're excited about it.
I really am because you get these three big tubs of gourmet candy.
You brought me some Zots.
Yeah. That was just the bonus candy.
Yeah.
Every month when you get your box, you open it up and there's your three candies. And then all sprinkled throughout the box is bonus
candy. Bonus candy. Who doesn't like bonus candy?
This week I got a new one, and it was saltwater taffy.
Whoa.
All in there. And I didn't even order that. That was like free.
Who doesn't like candy?
But for our listeners, there's a special deal. If you go to www.weirdnewspodcast.com,
yeah,
on the right side of the page, and you got to do this on a computer. You can't do it. Can't do it.
Mobile is not cooperating.
Mobile is not cooperating. But anyway, on the right side of the page, right above our button for voicemail.
There's a big button there.
Right above that button, you click on it, and it's special deal for Candy Club.
Yeah.
For our listeners. For listeners of Weird, they get a special deal.
The thing about it, too, is you've gotten taller since you've been on it. You've grown more hair.
Here's the deal. When I first signed up, Lori
was
like...
You've got more friends.
Lori was like, $30 a month. She said,
darn it.
She said, we cannot afford all this candy. Go down and get... But the thing is, it's a bargain. Because one of the first candies I got was Jelly Bellies. It's a huge thing of Jelly Bellies.
Huge.
It's huge. I'm still eating them today, and it's been like 3 months ago.
It's a jar of Jelly Belly.
So it's a bargain. They've got candy you can't get anywhere else. That's a plus.
Yeah.
They got gummy penguins.
Get out.
I'm not kidding. They taste like peach.
I thought you were going to say they taste like penguins.
No, but they're delicious.
All right, now I'm hungry.
All right. You got top story?
Sure.
All right. Here's tonight's top story.
Stop.
Top story.
Why do you do that?
What?
You just want to... Why don't you just practice saying,
top story?
No, I don't want to... That's yours.
Okay. Well, what's my... I just... On the first one, I just say the story.
Yeah, you don't
the
have to.
The next ones, or I have you to can have say, some fancy something.
You can say, here's tonight's top story.
Here's tonight's top story.
Top story.
Oh, that worked pretty good. Taco Bell testing quesadillas filled with Kit Kats. That sounds nasty.
Actually, Twix bars. That sounds rather delicious.
Don't. Every single time they come up with something, they could literally say... They
Taco
could put,
Bell,
they
man.
Could, they could literally say they're going to put fish vomit in a quesadilla.
That's gross.
And you're going to eat it. You're
no, I delicious.
And the first person I've talked to with that stupid taco thing that you've been excited about, the egg thing.
Why don't you calm down?
First person I talked to said that thing is gross.
You're scaring me a little bit.
Someone actually said that they were going to vomit eating the thing. You're literally like Taco Bell. Tomorrow, we thought about taking our trash out of our trash
can. Are you telling me you wouldn't eat a Kit Kat quesadilla?
Yeah, I would.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Does that meat in it?
No, it doesn't have meat in it.
Oh, if it's just candy in there, I might
It's like
it.
A Choco Taco.
But no, Choco Taco's ice cream.
Yeah, but these are not. These are probably, I think, warm.
Well, I can leave it in my pocket for a
See?
While. It gets warm.
See what I'm talking about?
No.
I'm super excited about a Kit Kat.
You're super
quesadilla.
Excited because there's candy involved. Hence the previous conversation we had about Candy Club.
Yeah.
Taco Bell is basically a deep fried stick of butter away from being a food booth at your local state fair.
Not true. Let me stop you right there because we've recently had a story about they're really making strides in the health area. And they've got their own dietitian.
I can tell by putting Kit Kats and Twix bars inside of quesadillas.
Well, if you go and order seven of them like I would do, that's not healthy.
One of them's like 400 calories.
That's not bad.
In an entire day when you got three other meals you got to eat.
That's still not bad. I could walk that off. It'll be worth it.
You don't walk.
I do. What do you think? I hover?
You don't walk.
I do
you
walk.
You roll around. The latest result, they just take a stick and they push you around. You don't do anything. The latest result of the Bell's plan to wrap any recognizable junk food inside a tortilla has resulted in two dessert quesadillas stuffed with either Twix bar pieces
yes, please.
Or Kit Kats.
Either one. You know what? I'm going to try one of each when they come out.
I know
out.
You will. Yeah. You have to convince us.
When they come out.
Taco Bell customers began spotting the Kit Kat Chocoladilla and Twix Caramel Chocoladilla.
Wait a minute. It's Chocadilla.
No.
Chocadilla.
Chaka.
Chaka.
Chocadilla. In recent weeks, as Brand Eating reports that the fast food company is testing the desserts at stores in Wisconsin.
Let's go. Let's go to Wisconsin this week.
You know, this is how Taco Bell does it. They'll test it in Wisconsin for about a week, and then it'll be everywhere, and then about 3 days later, it'll be gone.
I wonder if they'll have a $5 chocolate box. You know, you get a chocolate.
The box is made out of chocolate, maybe.
What if you get like a chocolate burrito? A chocolate burrito? A Choco Box.
I could let you go like this for a long time.
I kind of get excited.
The items look much like a traditional quesadilla, but instead of chicken and cheese, they come stuffed with a Kit Kat or Twix pieces and melted chocolate.
See? What's wrong with that? Nothing.
They should stick with what they're good at, and they're barely good
How do you
at
know they're not good at that?
Both of the desserts, or they could be your meal, no judgment here, are selling for a dollar. Now we're talking.
Well, do you realize that when we started this podcast more than a year ago, I wouldn't eat at Taco Bell?
I know.
Now, all of a sudden, I can't get enough of
it. What's going to happen a year from now?
I don't know. Maybe I won't be eating there anymore.
You're on spin cycle by then.
I bet I went 10 years without setting foot in a Taco Bell.
10? 10? He went 10 years. This isn't the first time Taco Bell has offered the chocolatey quesadillas.
What?
Brand Eating notes that the fast food company sold the Kit Kat version in the UK last year, but called it the Chocadilla.
Chocadilla.
See, that's the Chocadilla.
Oh, I see. Okay, maybe you were right.
I was. It's Chocoladilla and then Chocadilla.
It's a Chaka.
Chaka-con. Consumerist has reached out to Taco Bell for more information on how long the test will last and if the product will make it to more restaurants.
We'll Where can we vote?
This post if we hear back.
You know what? I'm going to have to, I'm going to contact their head office tomorrow. And I'm going to say, listen.
How about you let me finish this story, then you can talk about
way
it.
Way down south, we need some Chocadillas.
You can just make your own. Go to the store, get some quesadillas.
That takes all the fun out of it.
Stick a flipping Kit Kat in it and melt it.
I happen to have quesadillas at the house already.
Just go make yourself a dang quesadilla. Quesadilla.
Tina, you fat lard.
Several Twitter users have spied both versions of the Chocoladilla at their local Taco Bell restaurants. Reddit user KGJetta4 said the Twix version wasn't bad, but it wasn't great either. I was hoping for something good as I really enjoy a Twix bar every now and then. And while it wasn't perfect, it was pretty good.
This guy.
He wrote. adding that the flavors work pretty well together, though the filling was as plentiful as photos make it seem.
Huh. See, that's I look at that as a positive review.
Okay.
Headline
I'm
is...
I'm so glad we're done with that.
Headline is... Man shoots self while testing a new spell.
No, he shoots himself what?
Dead while testing a new spell that was supposed to make him bulletproof.
Well, you know. You think there'd be a better way to test that?
I wonder if this is up for the Darwin Awards. Do they still do that?
I don't know. I love those.
You know, but our country has made it so difficult to find people to actually...
It's not unique anymore.
You can't do it.
No.
A man
You're
was
almost odd if you die in a normal way.
A man was has killed himself in Katsiana State after his charm, meant to protect him from gunshots, it failed to work, Craig.
Right.
No longer a problem anymore.
It makes me think of that poor guy that jumped off the Eiffel Tower with the very first parachute.
I don't know that story.
It's on this film of it.
I don't want to see it.
Well, it's not gruesome. It's just sad. He basically plummeted straight to the bottom.
That's terrible. Why am I laughing?
Because you're mean?
According to the Daily Trust, a show of bravery turned awry as a member of the Aizen Gona vigilante group, Ahmad Makaria, in Katsina.
He's making crap up now.
Shot himself dead while testing the charm. The incident was said to have occurred at Dubai Village in Matsel local government area of Katsina State.
You know, one thing is no one can ever narrow down where these places are because no, we butcher the names.
But they're out there. The thing is, Craig, he had to have a lot of faith in his charms. In his spells, he must have cast some spells that work, in order for him to cast a spell, a bulletproof spell. And
or
then,
he had that overconfidence disease we talk about.
Yeah. What if he just got like a word wrong?
One word.
One word. His wife's like, "No, don't say it." Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Maybe we turn into a car.
Oh, don't pick that key up.
Well, this one's mine.
That's terrible. I don't like this one's mine.
Well, no one has suggested anything better, so until then...
I thought we were sticking with the... What you talking about, headline?
What you talking about, headline? Tortured alien ranch owners are desperate to sell infamous property. Wow. Let's just ponder that a minute.
You got $5 million?
Tortured alien ranch owners.
Yeah.
Are desperate to sell infamous property.
Yeah. These ranch owners... own these alien ranches.
Yeah, and they're desperate to sell the infamous properties.
Why don't you go ahead and read the story?
Owners of Arizona's infamous alien ranch have put the property up for sale, and it can be yours for a mere $5 million.
Wow.
The owners are desperate to get rid of their Stardust Ranch, where they claim to have been terrorized by aliens for the past 20 years.
That's just like a day in alien life.
Yeah, it's nothing for them. They're blink just, of an eye.
They'll probably be gone in 60 years. They won't have to worry about it anymore.
In addition to getting probed and attacked by extraterrestrials, the property also comes with a pretty sweet swimming pool, which you will definitely need while living in Arizona. The 10-acre property was even featured in the Travel Channel's Ghost Adventures in 2016. You know that's the show where they go looking for ghosts but never find them?
Yes, that's the one.
It's like the Bigfoot show.
That show drives me nuts. It should be called... Looking for Bigfoot.
We hope we find Bigfoot.
Yeah, something
we hope
like
we
that.
Find a ghost.
But I'm a little confused because they're being tortured by aliens, but ghost hunters went?
I hadn't gotten to it yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, probably because there's not an alien show. I don't know.
Are they alien ghosts?
Maybe.
So that way...
They're from over the border.
That's wrong. This is not that kind of alien.
Oh.
This is extraterrestrial.
Oh, extraterrestrial alien.
Yes.
I thought you meant somebody was an alien, illegal alien.
Uh-uh.
You know, like Phil Collins, it's no fun being an illegal alien.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that's what you were talking about.
That's not at all what I'm talking about.
You're talking about actually...
These are ETs.
Oh.
Not like phone home.
So they've got... Oh, so they don't have the peanut butter candy things?
No, they don't have Reese's Pieces.
John Edmonds and his wife Joyce... Hey, Joyce. Say the aliens... Which
John Edmonds, didn't he run for office?
Maybe. They say the aliens, which they call Greys... Well, let me get something straight here, Edmonds family.
How racist.
Now, let me put it this way, John and wife Joyce. They've been called Greys before you called them Greys, okay?
I wonder how they feel about that.
I don't know.
Gray lives matter.
They appear... Oh, you took it there.
Well, they do.
They appear to be little gray men, have been attacking them for over 20 years on the property in Buckeye, Arizona.
Yep.
John, 58, says he has no choice but to slay them with one of his many samurai swords that he keeps around the house. So
he's killing them.
So where are the bodies, John?
Yeah, just show us something.
Well, here's the thing.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, once they're cut with a samurai blade, the gray bodies vanish immediately afterward.
Really?
Making it impossible for him to preserve them for research.
Well, why don't he just like kidnap one and lock it in a freezer?
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
Trick him into running into a freezer, shut the door behind him.
Like Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, or Jurassic Park. They got the dinosaurs to run in there.
That's right.
However,
and they didn't vanish.
Nope. However, no, they went extinct.
That's right.
That's different. Well, we had to wait a million years.
Yeah.
Any,
took
you,
a while.
You know what I'm saying? whatever. Expiration date's really long on those guys. However, John does have photographs that feature blood smeared on the ground. Well, I can do that here.
Absolutely.
I can punch you in the nose and get that.
I've seen pictures of blood.
Blood smeared on the ground with a samurai sword above the mess. It isn't clear why John hasn't tried to trap one of the aliens. But
who took the picture? He sliced this alien. It bled and vanished.
And he took the picture.
And he's standing there, honey.
No, he's turning around, putting the film in his camera, going, okay, 1 second. Oh, he's too slow.
He's still got the sword.
It isn't clear why John hasn't tried to trap one of the aliens, but that's surely a story for another day, as right now, the family just wants to leave. The property was put up for sale 11 years ago for a little over $1 million, but since the Stardust Ranch has shown on the Travel Channel, the price has ballooned up to an additional $4 million. The Edmonds family believe that there is a portal on the property. Well, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, like the video game.
Yeah, which links them to another universe in which the Greys travel through.
I wish you'd stop calling them that. That's,
I know. That's just
aliens.
Where's the sensitivity towards their feelings?
I swear.
Another one of their theories is that a spaceship or UFO.
What's the difference between a spaceship and a UFO?
I don't know. Is buried beneath the property, which was built in 1977. John Edmonds said the aliens pop up at random times, sometimes in groups, but they are always there to do one thing, attack him. Mr. Edmonds isn't the only target of the Greys, as 53-year-old Joyce says the mischievous, I say mischievous, some say mischievous.
Sure.
I don't know. You say what you want to say. Creatures have really kind of taken a liking to her.
They bothered her, too.
Bothered her, too. The Edmonds family runs a horse rescue on the property, but the Greys have been coming more frequently over the past few years, which makes them want to pack up and move their business over to Maine in an effort to ditch the little gray aliens. It isn't clear if the Greys are doing anything to the horses, as the Edmonds family have only talked about themselves as the targets of the abuse. So they're thinking maybe these things are coming in, saddling up the horses and riding around on
exactly.
them. Exactly. Or they're like beating
Which
them up.
I would pay to see.
To beat, watch an alien beat up a horse or ride one around on a...
I don't want to watch anybody beat up a horse.
It's nice of John and Joyce to be upfront about the alien attacks on the property because nobody warned them when they bought the 40-year-old property 20 years ago.
Okay, let me explain this. Let me explain this story. What we have here is a couple looking at retirement. They have this property, $1 million worth of ranch, $1 million ranch. Travel Channel comes. They jack the price up to $5 million simply because it's been on TV, right?
Yeah.
So they got no takers. So he invents these alien stories, thinking that some alien fanatic is going to drop five M's. I'm trying to be hip.
M&Ms?
No, not $5 million to have an alien-infested ranch. And somebody's going to do it. I'm surprised you hadn't gotten the checkbook out yet. To do it.
Yeah. What he said. I actually tuned you out at that point because you were just going on as long as this theme right here is going on. Is it still going? Oh, it's a snake story.
Watch out! Oh, the snake hole.
Freaky snake hole.
Hey, Seth.
Freaky.
The snake hole.
Man. I gotta speed that up next time.
Why? You talked all the way over.
I feel uncomfortable. It's this uncomfortable silence while this is going
Jay on. Jay stopped me in the hall at work today and said, he said, I want you to know I really enjoy the snake theme.
Is Honest. Jay on meds?
No, he's not. He's really cool and hip and he knows what's going on. He knows what the kids like.
Does Jay like you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's there you go.
Headline is snake
Probably
catcher.
Trying to make you feel better.
Headline is snake catcher. Oh, you know what else this is, though? How many themes you want? I got a bunch of them. Snake catcher removes serpent from family's linen closet. And of course it's in Australia.
Of course.
Of course. An Australian snake catcher shared a video of an unusual capture at a home where a snake was found resting in the family's linen closet. Stuart McKenzie. That's Bob and Doug's dad. Stuart. You know Stu, right?
That was the snake resting.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're interrupting.
Did I wake
him resting.
It? Stuart McKenzie of the Snake Catcher 24/7 Gold Coast posted a video to Facebook showing the capture he performed at a home in Mount Mellum, Queensland. It's over there at the Queensland. How do you speak when you're talking about Queensland? I got an English, British.
I don't know what you're doing at this point.
The video shows McKenzie removing the tree snake from a linen closet. Now, the linen cupboard is known for olden sheets and towels and all sorts of things, but the last thing you expect to see when you open up the cupboard doors is a snake staring back at you, McKenzie wrote. This common tree snake must have come inside to escape the wind and the rain.
The wind?
Tree snakes are pros at squeezing through tight little gaps and entering the house. They are commonly seen around ohms. I'm dropping all the H's. We are commonly seen around ohms as they often in search for geckos and frogs to eat. Mate, that's not a snake.
That was lovely.
Yeah.
That was great. No, really.
That's the end of my story.
Oh, this one's mine?
That's not good at all, man. This is a sports story.
What you talking about, headline?
There it is.
Brazil's worst team in the world starts winning, and the club's fans are livid.
Why?
Well, maybe I'll read the story, and we'll talk about it.
I don't get it.
The Brazilian football club, Ibis Sport.
Hey, watch your language now.
Ibis Sport hadn't won a match for 2 years, but now the self-styled worst team in the world, which plays in the lowest division of the Pernambuco.
Very good.
State championship has 3 consecutive victories and can make it a record-breaking 4 if they can beat Centro Limoeirense this Sunday.
Centro Limo. That sounds like a good business.
But far from welcoming this sudden reversal of fortune, some fans claim the club's roots and identity are at stake.
This is ridiculous.
Following the latest 1-0 victory against why do I get these stories? Following their latest 1-0 victory towards these people I'm not going to try to pronounce, fans stormed a local bar where the players were enjoying a post-match barbecue and beers to demand, please stop whining. Oh, winning.
Winning.
I'm sorry.
That's this kind of story makes me angry.
Hangry?
Well, that too. I'm going to go get me a choco taco. I want to go
winning. This is destroying our history, said one protest leader.
So they have accepted being losers. And they're comfortable there. Story of so many people today. They've been losing so long, they're comfortable. They're not going to strive for excellence. Why? Because it'd be uncomfortable. They have to get out of their box, Craig.
You ready to get off your box now?
Soapbox.
This is destroying our history, said one protest leader. Other fans went
on social... No, wait, who was it? What was his name?
Nilsinho Filho.
You tried to breeze right by it.
But I said it?
Yeah.
Nilsinho Filho. Other fans went on social media to complain or call for resignations. This is a worrying situation in the long term.
Oh.
To stop being an icon or to just be another winning team, it is a coach's fault, read a typical tweet.
That infuriates me.
Calm down.
It's making me angry.
Calm down. Between 1980 and 1984, the team went 3 years and 11 months without winning a game and entered the Guinness Book of Records as the worst club in the world. Congratulations.
So what? You and I could start a soccer team and go be the worst team in the world. That's not hard to do.
Well, the club's former midfielder, Mauro Shampoo.
Yeah, he married a young lady named Marie Conditioner.
Okay, that was so bad. Boasts that he scored
Wait
just,
a minute. It's a little late.
Boasts that he scored just 1 goal in 10 years and has also criticized the recent victories. If we keep winning, we're going to lose our brand, he said. So don't win. They don't want to win now.
That makes me, you can tell I've got smoke coming out of my big ears.
I'm done with that story.
It's infuriating to me.
Yeah.
Strive for excellence.
It's inflammatory. What? Is that a word? Inflammatory?
Anybody could be a loser. I mean, look at you, Craig. Headline is...
That is so true.
Headline is, organized Hawaiian spam thievery.
That's something I can talk about
now. That's more like a title. That's not even a headline. It's a title.
They're stealing spiced ham.
Hawaii is under siege by spam bandits. The spam bandits.
Spam bandits.
They're going to be in the next Home Alone.
Do you like spam?
You know, I don't think I've ever had spam.
It's disgusting.
Is it really?
I think. Now, if I was starving on an island and I only had a crate of it.
I know they love it in Hawaii. It's big in Hawaii.
Well, you know that because the story says that.
Yeah.
Okay, but here's the deal.
What?
It's nasty.
Seriously, why? Is it just salty?
It's just gross.
Compare it to something.
It's
Vienna sausages?
No, Vienna sausages. Vienna. You look where you're from. Vienna sausages are just, no, those are pretty mild.
I like those.
Spiced ham is... those are mushy spiced ham. I keep calling.
I like to get a Vinny sausage and put it between a couple of saltines.
Okay.
Oh, stop it!
I wish you would. I keep calling it spiced ham because that's what it was. It was that's what Spam was supposed to stand for. Was like spiced ham.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you learn a little bit when you're here.
I sure did. Well, anyway, individuals in the state of Hawaii have pulled off a series of brazen canned meat heist. The thefts have become so common, the Washington Post reports that some shops are protecting the mystery meat gold by locking it in plastic cases usually reserved for pricier items.
Who would have thought that day would come?
At a Safeway, a customer spotted a man who grabbed 8 cases of Spam and made a beeline for the exit. In another instance, 3 women at a Long's drugstore filled shopping carts with 18 cases of Spam and just bolted. But they were thwarted by a customer, no doubt compelled to defend Hawaii Spam supply. Meanwhile, the Honolulu Police, Hawaii 5-0, has offered $1,000 for a Spam thief and his alleged accomplice who attacked a security guard and who tried to protect his employer's Spam.
They should just offer 1,000 cans of Spam. Whoever it is will turn themselves
in. That's true. The Spam burglars aren't part of some noble Robin Hood-like pursuit. Instead, officials say the thefts are due to the state's thriving Spam black market. Tina Yamaki, president of the Retail Merchants of Hawaii, tells the Washington Post that the heists are organized retail crime. It's organized crime is what it is. It's Spam mob. It's Spam mob.
I don't get it.
And this is not driven by need to eat or feed a family. So it's all on greed. It's all greed.
It's Spam.
Yeah.
But it lasts like a million years.
I want to try it. I bet it's good with like pineapple.
Okay, we're going to go get some.
Okay.
And we're going to try it.
You want to pause this and you go?
I could.
No. I ain't got time for that.
You got the nerve.
Hey. It's not that I don't have the nerve. I just don't have the time.
I just saw you blink.
But it says I blink every few seconds. You did too.
I bet if I rolled up a Kit Kat in the middle of that Spam, you'd eat it.
No, I would not. You no, would. That sounds disgusting.
Survey says, now. Spokesman. Is that what I say now? Survey says, Spokane woman sues bicyclist who yelled hot pizza before slamming into her. What's wrong?
Everything. You can't say survey says. That doesn't make sense at all. Well, and a guy yelled hot pizza.
So we just try to just try it again.
It's easier for him to say than bike coming up on your left.
Survey says Spokane woman sues bicyclist who yelled hot pizza before slamming into her on trail. The 67-year-old Spokane woman injured when a bicyclist yelled hot pizza and then crashed into her along the Centennial Trail. Maybe, is suing the rider.
Maybe he had Tourette's.
You know, Virginia Parasol hired lawyers Bob Dunn, he's finished with it, and Dan Fatsy.
No.
Dunn
and Facey.
The offices of Dunn and Facey to press her case against the cyclist. Well, that sounds awkward. 44.
She already had when he ran over her with a bicycle.
Hot pizza!
Anyway, maybe that's what you can start saying before your headline.
Hot pizza! To press her case against the cyclist, 44-year-old Justin Haller, like some sort of asinine idiot, he plowed right into her, Dunn said. Instead of acting like a reasonable adult, the guy had road rage, acting like some sort of idiot on the pathway.
She's mad.
Dunn said Parasol, wanted to bring awareness to trail safety, but she could receive compensation in the high 6 figures.
Yeah,
those are numbers they put high up.
Give me high 6 figures. I'll participate in brand
if
or
injuries
whatever.
Injuries are permanent. Yeah. Hot pizza!
You and I just completely said 2 paragraphs over each other. I couldn't even understand what we were talking about.
I don't know what we're talking about. In an interview, Haller denied wrongdoing.
This podcast is off the rails.
It is. In an interview, Haller, denied any wrongdoing. He called the collision an accident and blamed a unsafe mix of walkers and cyclists on the trail.
Well, share the trail.
You shouldn't have a place where you have 5 times the speed discrepancy, Haller said, noting that cyclists were allowed to reach up to 15 miles per hour on the trail, where most people walk 3 miles per hour. If I were going to hop onto the highway going 12 miles per hour, you'd be in Tennessee.
Sometimes.
Don't you think I should look out for bigger and faster moving vehicles? According to accounts from both Parasol and Haller, Parasol was walking with her sister on the trail near milepost 24 at Nettleton Street when she heard someone behind her yell, hot pizza! The statement confused her.
Yeah, as it would.
As it would a normal person. But she moved to the right to avoid what she thought was likely a cyclist. When they collided.
Yeah, he ran
their
her
accounts
over.
Diverge there. All okay. We do know is there was hot pizza.
The thing is, hot pizza. Okay, there's three. I've come up with three reasons this could have happened. Number one, Tourette's. You know, he gets excited. Number two, hot pizza is his code word for
safe word.
It's his word for watch out, I'm right behind you with a bike, you know.
Did they ever mention if he had hot pizza with him?
No, he did not. And number three, it could be like foul language to him. You know how we say darn? Maybe
is
a cuss word.
To you?
No, it's not to
no,
me.
No, we don't. Maybe you do.
Yeah, I say darn and shoot.
You said that was a cuss word.
No, hot pizza. Maybe it is for him and his family. You know, hot pizza.
Maybe you're just spiraling here.
No, that's three. That's the only three. I did a little.
You really should just get to the next story because I love the headline.
Headline is child beats back creepy clown with a selfie stick. That'll teach him. The Volusia County Sheriff's. you okay? Don't die. We've still got like 10 minutes left.
No, I'm good.
The Volusia County Sheriff's Office posted a warning on its Facebook page regarding evil creepy clown wannabes. We will not save you if your victim fights back.
This would sort of insinuate that there are actual evil creepy clowns that they are measuring this by.
Maybe. Here's one right here. Got beat with a selfie stick.
Yeah.
The warning posted Tuesday reads, warning to evil clowns and anyone considering creepy clown activity. We will not be there to save you.
Nope.
If you are an intended target, if your intended target defends himself or herself, and you may face other penalties as well. The sheriff's office. Oh, did you have something?
No.
The sheriff's office apparently posted the warning after someone dressed as a clown was beaten back with a selfie stick by an 11-year-old riding a bike. This kid had it. He'd had it up to here with Stephen King and his clowns. The victim told a deputy that he was riding his bike when the clown jumped out from behind some bushes and tried to grab him.
Beat down.
Fearing for his safety,
the
child grabbed his metal selfie stick and reportedly hit the 5'9", 230-pound suspect. The victim said the suspect was wearing a blue clown hair, had a rainbow-painted face, a red foam nose, green long-sleeve shirt, black pants, and black boots.
Could they just say he was dressed like a clown?
The victim said the clown chased him for a short distance but tripped and fell to the ground. The clown then went back into the bushes and he went home. Clown went home. The kid continued on to school and told his teachers what had happened. And the sheriff's office says the victim did not see the clown with any weapons.
Wow.
Good thing, too.
Survey says?
You can't do that. Doesn't work. Survey doesn't say anything.
Are you saying that Richard Dawson actually had a survey of people?
Yes.
I don't believe him.
Absolutely he had
ever,
a survey.
Did you ever see surveys behind the scenes things?
Yes.
No, we didn't.
I had a survey. I took one of the surveys at Rivergate Mall.
You never took a survey for Family
absolutely
Feud?
Absolutely, I
Family
did.
Family Feud?
Yeah, absolutely.
You liar,
I'm
sir.
Not.
You are a liar.
There's like five questions.
What were they?
They were something like if you had to this, that, and the other. I don't remember.
Okay, see, that's where you fall. Your stories fall apart, little man.
I was a kid. It's been 40 years ago.
Man given $149 ticket for singing 90s dance song while driving.
Now, that's a little steep. Do you sing behind the wheel?
if I do, very poorly.
Because I used to belt them out.
Oh, I
stink. I don't really listen to music anymore, but I would scream. Oh, man. You put some REO Speedwagon on. If Roll with the Changes came on.
That doesn't mean you sing it good.
I didn't say I sing
Here's
good.
The thing.
I didn't ask
Everybody,
you if you sing
we're
good.
Surrounded by all these people we know that just they're either beautiful people or they can sing. They're beautiful and they can sing. They don't get to pick one or the other.
Yeah, you and I, we and hang out with the higher crowd
and,
there.
And when it comes to me singing,
yeah,
it's like this. I got one note. That's all I got.
That's terrible.
There's no notes. I don't know. La, la, la. There's nothing.
You put some Queen on or some REO or anything I enjoy.
All you say is REO. There are all these bands in the world, and all you ever say is REO.
That's the standard. That's the gold standard.
No, it's not.
Yeah. REO and REO's at the top, and at the bottom, you got, like, I don't know, Zeppelin or something, and then there's everything in between. Everybody dance now. Are you going to read this story?
I thought we were doing
that. Everybody dance now. Go on.
Okay. A Saint Laurent. Do you like how I say that?
That's
Saint Laurent.
Very French of you.
Man's love of music is proving costly after he said he was given a $149 ticket for singing Gonna Make You Sweat, Everybody Dance Now
Good
while
grief.
Driving.
What if he had been singing, Rick Rolls or something?
I don't know. Ooh, you know. I like Rolls. Wait. On September 27th, Taufik Mualla was on his way to get a bottle of water from Provigo. He was headed down St. Croix.
Oh, he's getting some St. Croix water.
Yeah. Cheerfully singing along to the 1990 CNC Music Factory hit when he heard a police siren behind him.
I was thinking they want to pass.
CC?
But they called on the speaker, please go to the right side, said Mualla.
At least they were polite.
I stopped and four police came.
Four?
Two on each side.
Wait a minute. Four police because he was singing?
And checked the inside of the car. Then they asked me if I screamed. I said, no, I was just singing.
That's not screaming.
Police checked his license and registration and came back with the ticket for screaming in his car.
I didn't know if my voice was very bad or that's why I got the ticket. He said, but I was very shocked. I understand if they are doing their job, they're allowed to check if everything is okay. If I kidnap someone, if there's danger inside, but I never expected to give me a ticket for that.
I can agree with him on this one.
Well, I said he wasn't singing too loud, just as if you are happy and you like to sing song. While he was thinking the situation is crazy, he said he kept his calm. I said, okay, thank you, because I know I can't contest the ticket. They were doing their job.
Were they now? Is that what they do in France?
He's done just that and is currently waiting for a court date, which he said he was told could take as long as a year to take place.
Oh, well,
he said he simply plans to tell a judge how he got the ticket.
Imagine if the Canadians won a game. All the fans are going to scream out of their cars. They're going to sing.
Sure.
Are you going to give them all tickets?
No, just a few of them.
As for his wife, she isn't surprised that her husband's vocal abilities ended up with a fine.
She told me if it was for singing, I'd have given you a ticket for $300.
That's what my wife would have said.
Darn it.
That's so true. Guess where we're going? We've already been once this episode. We're going back. This time I want to hear the kangaroo line. So you just hold your horses. All right.
Is it over yet?
Headline is, man hits himself with car in a bizarre road rage at Malabar.
Malabar.
And there is a video, and it made me laugh.
Okay.
An embarrassing video has surfaced in which an attempted road rage incident is cut short as a driver bizarrely manages to hit himself with his own car. The video shows the motorist stopping his car abruptly before the driver behind honks his horn. So they're going down the road, and he's stopping. He's stopping in the middle of the road.
He's stopping.
He's everybody
he's
dancing
rocking.
Now. And
everybody dance now.
Bump, bump, bump. Anyway,
well, we discussed that.
The video shows the motorist stopping his car abruptly before the driver behind him honks his horn. Now, the driver behind him has a dashboard camera, much like yours.
Okay.
So the guy opens his door and gets out of the car, but he forgot one crucial step, Craig.
What'd he forget?
He forgot to put his car in park. So as he begins to walk towards the people.
I, too, have done such a thing.
Who have honked their horn at him. He is hit by the driver's side door, which he left open as the car rolls backward. The car continues down the hill, plowing into the car behind him, the car that honked the horn. The man is dramatically knocked to the road with his feet up in the air, which made me laugh. It looked like a Three Stooges bit or something.
Well, it was, basically.
Before he manages to get back up, the driver continued to argue with the people in the car behind him. You caused that, he told the couple in the car behind him. The video
was captioned
with saying that he wouldn't go around the car because there were double white lines located on the road, and it would have been illegal to cross them, which there were. I mean, I would have blown my horn, too, if somebody had just stopped in the middle of the road twice.
That was a good story.
You got to see the video, I guess.
No, it was a good story.
Oh, thank you, man.
I'm just thinking about my story.
All I did was read it.
Survey says.
Stop it.
Winton woman gets calls for pizza.
Hot pizza. Hang on a second. We forgot this. It's a food story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Winton woman gets calls for pizza after restaurant pulls. It's just going to keep going, isn't it?
You can talk over it. You were doing great.
Winton woman gets calls for pizza after restaurant puts wrong number on flyer. There. Are you happy?
That's your headline?
That's my headline.
That's good.
A pizza restaurant in Winton recently sent out a flyer to promote sales. The big problem is it used the wrong number for takeout orders.
That is lousy marketing right there.
Wendy Walsh of Winton. Wendy Walsh of Winton. Wendy Walsh of Winton.
Say
Wendy Walsh of
Winton. Winton's Wendy Walsh.
Wendy Walsh of Winton.
No, Winton's Wendy Walsh.
Winton's Wendy Walsh. says it's caused all kinds of problems for her since early September.
I bet.
About 6 weeks ago, we started getting a couple of phone calls once or twice a week asking what our hours were. Or if they could talk to the manager and place an order.
You know what you do in this case? You take the order. If somebody calls my house thinking it's a pizza restaurant, I'll take the order.
Yeah. Since then, Walsh's phone has been ringing off the hook. Rico's sent out a flyer to 700 homes in the Winton area back in September, but the phone number listed isn't Rico's.
Nice.
It's Walsh's personal number. The mistake was huge because the prefix for Rico's Pizza is 358, not 812.
No, those numbers aren't anywhere near each other.
No, not at all.
If it was 358 and 357, you may think, okay, I can see where you can make that mistake.
Yeah. Or 111 and 111.
No, those are the same.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this isn't Rico's?
No.
Can I place an order? Walsh's husband talked to the manager of Rico's, but left unsatisfied. We should have gotten a pizza. He'd been satisfied. I'm sorry, it was wrong. Just give them the right number when they call. That's it. We've had to change our phone number. We didn't do anything wrong, you know. This is ridiculous.
Calm down. Calm down, man.
Oscar Aguilar, the owner of Rico. Where's Rico?
Oh, he's in the kitchen.
Okay, yeah. Well, Rico...
They just named
the owner, and he named it after Rico.
Yeah.
Didn't want to talk on camera, but he claims he did try to apologize to Wendy Walsh of Winton. He also wants to make it right by giving her a gift card.
Yes.
Rico's has since put out a new flyer with the correct phone number, but Walsh says she keeps getting annoying calls of the day and night.
I wish we had this number, Craig.
I feel like they should pay a fine or maybe make a donation to a charity of our choice.
Baloney.
I don't know if that's a charity. Walsh's calls for pizza should be ending this weekend. That's when her new number goes into service. Take the gift card and go.
Make a donation to a charity of our choice. That gets on my nerves, by the way.
I know, me too. He offered you a gift card. It was an honest mistake. Take the free pizza and shut your pie hole.
What if it's like a dollar? What if it wasn't enough? What if the gift card?
Well, then she should give that dollar to a charity of her choice.
Headline is, woman fined 47 goats for calling her neighbor a prostitute.
Whoa.
And this just happened right here.
Straight for the goat.
It's happened right here in Nashville.
It really got her goat.
Oh. Actually, this is from Manama. A woman from Manama area. Was fined a total of 47 goats for calling her neighbor a prostitute.
You're a prostitute.
Ship Humzile, Dubé.
Let down your hair.
Not Rapunzel.
Oh, sorry.
Ship Humzile, Dubé, allegedly told Bezegla Shibana that she had a habit of sleeping with touts in the area in order to get free transport to Bulawayo.
Here's how I would handle a sentence like
go
this.
Go ahead.
Ready?
Yeah, you read it.
Shipalooze me at Deluble. Allegedly told Blazika Shamblada.
That's pretty much what I did.
That she had a habit of sleeping with touts in the area in order to get free transport to Bulilulugo.
The women, who are vendors at a market, got into a fight after one of them questioned the other's business tactics. And then one of them wrote a note with the words, Begzella is a prostitute, to her husband.
Yep, that'll do it.
Privileged Dubé.
Wait. She's a prostitute to her husband, or she's a prostitute the note went to her husband?
Privileged Dubé, a witness told B Metro that one of them had done a good thing by revealing her secret because her husband was too blind to notice that his wife's adulterous ways.
He's actually blind. Leave him alone.
Her husband is always accusing people of ganging up against her, but she is a well-known prostitute. Instead of thanking Ship Humzile, he told her that he had not hired anyone to be his wife's bodyguard and that she should learn to mind her own business. Begzella.
Why do you walk around saying, do you know Mrs. Dubé? Oh, yeah, she's a well-known prostitute.
Begzella is an alleged joyride lover. What in the world is that a band?
I'm not sure you can say that.
That's the new Beach Boys album. Yeah, joyride lover. Anyway, she has never paid bus fare and travels for free wherever she travels.
That's just jealousy talking.
It really is. Shep Humzile admitted to
let
writing
down
the,
your hair.
Admitted to writing the note. I am the one who wrote the note, but I will not commit any further as I am in the process.
You want to commit any further?
Comment any further as I am in the process of reconciliation talks with the family and her family. She said. B Metro gathered that Ship Humzile
let down your hair
was charged 47 goats as a peace offering.
You think I'd get bored with that after a while, but it's still funny to me for some reason.
But she only managed to pay 20. She said, I'll give you 20 of my goats and that's it.
That's it.
The matter is still being
she can get 47 before it's over with.
Still being deliberated by the two families. Oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh, thank goodness we're to the most. Wait, you know what? This isn't even the Mark Patch top 10 this time.
It isn't.
This is the Mark Patch top 10 weird facts.
It's not a top 10 this time. It's a list of 10 weird random facts.
Okay, you know what?
I'm
taking it back. It's not the Mark Patch anything.
No, it's not. This isn't
sorry,
a Mark Patch list.
Sorry, Mark. Sorry, Mark.
And the truth of the matter is...
But he's happy we said his name.
Mark is, yeah. The truth of the matter is I had a little hard time coming up with a decent top 10 list this week. So what I did find, Craig, was a list of about 200 random facts. I picked 10.
Those in my head all the time.
I picked 10 good ones, and here we go.
Who said they're good?
And we'll start with number one.
Number one. Top 10. No, not top 10.
No, not top
just
10.
Just 10 weird.
10 okay. Weird random,
random
facts.
Random number one weird
all
fact.
True. All true proven.
Number one, the first webcam watched a coffee pot. It allowed researchers at Cambridge to monitor the coffee situation without leaving their desk. I remember that.
Now, see, that's pretty cool. Although, what are you going to do if it's out of coffee? Just stay at your desk?
I think I do remember that, or I've read about it.
Number two.
I'm pretty old now, so I probably might have been there.
Between 1912 and 1948, art competitions were a part of the Olympics. How about that?
How long is this painting competition going to go on?
Medals
especially
were
Bob Ross over in the corner. He's over there like, little more trees.
He paints a beautiful painting in less than 30 minutes.
That is true.
He'd have all the gold medals.
That is true.
Medals were awarded for architecture, music, painting, and sculpture.
The entire state of Wyoming? Oh, I don't believe this.
It's true.
Only has two escalators.
That is so true. Look it up.
No.
And that was number three, by the way.
What did I say? Number two?
No, you didn't say a number
at all. Why does it matter? Because they're not in a list. They're not in an order.
Number four. They are in order. They're just not backwards. Number four. The ampersand symbol is formed from the letters in et, the Latin word for and.
That was beautiful. I'm really glad.
It's a random fact.
I feel like my life is now complete that I know that. Number five, ravens in captivity can learn to talk better than parrots.
Did you know that?
And they won't shut up once they start.
Quote the raven nevermore. Number six.
Rap-a-tap-a-tap-tap-tap on your head.
The actor who was inside R2-D2 hated the guy who played C-3PO, calling him the rudest man I'd ever met.
He didn't like Anthony Daniels, huh?
No, he didn't like him. He said he was rude.
What's his name?
That little short little fella.
I'm forgetting what his
name It'd be like me and you standing there.
Tom Kenny. No, Tom Kenny's SpongeBob.
Tom Petty?
Tom Petty. It was Tom Petty. He was, no, oh, too soon.
Yeah.
Number seven, it's a myth that no two snowflakes are exactly the same. In 1988, a scientist found two identical snow crystals. They came from a storm in Wisconsin. Now, how did he find those?
And I actually saw a photograph of the two.
How did
side
he find
to side.
Them?
Oh, they're scientists. How do they do what, you know, they do
they
stuff,
make,
man.
They make stuff up.
Number eight, when Disneyland opened in 1955, Tomorrowland was designed to look like a year in the distant future, 1986.
They missed that.
No, but you know what I miss about 1986? The hairstyles.
Yeah, big hairstyles.
Yes.
You know what I don't miss?
What?
That movie Tomorrowland. It was horrible.
I didn't know. Yeah.
Number nine. Before George W. Bush took office, some Clinton staffers canvassed the White House offices and removed the W key from over 60 keyboards.
Knew that. Everybody knew that.
That's vandalism, and they could be charged.
Absolutely.
Federal property.
Absolutely. Number 10. Last final... Weird true fun fact.
Not related to Mark Patch at all.
When the last official Blockbuster video closed in November of 2013, the final rental was the apocalyptic comedy, This Is the End.
That was set up, though.
What do you mean it was set up?
Well, they did. They're like, okay, we got the last guy. We'll go get something memorable.
They're like, here, you want to rent this?
Why didn't they get the Burt Reynolds movie, The End?
Oh, that's a good movie.
That is a lot better.
It's a sad movie in a lot of ways. Hey, that's the end of episode 117, Craig.
Didn't think we were going to make it through it, to be honest with you.
We've only got one more episode before Halloween.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm going as a podcast host this year.
I thought you were going to go as a leprechaun.